Let's turn in the Word of God this morning to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, which records for us the history of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. We read this in connection with the first question and answer of Lord's Day 22. We'll read this morning the first 46 verses of the chapter. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had therefore heard that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come, and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? Then said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. So far we read the Word of God. It's on the basis of that history and in accordance with all of the Word of God that we have Heidelberg Catechism's instruction in Lord's Day 22. This morning we consider just question and answer 57. Question 57 asks, What comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee? That not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ its head, but also that this my body, being raised by the power of Christ, shall be reunited with my soul and made like unto the glorious body of Christ. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, having treated Lord's Day 21 in a series of 6 sermons on the doctrine of the church, we come now to Lord's Day 22, which is the conclusion of the Apostles' Creed. Looking at the last 2 articles of that creed, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Recall what the writers of the Heidelberg Catechism are doing at this point in the creed. They're going through the Apostles' Creed, article by article, as that creed stands as the object of our faith. We need to be reminded of what we learned in Lord's Day 7 on the truth of faith. We learned in Lord's Day 7 that faith is not only a certain knowledge, but also an assured confidence. And that begs the question, a certain knowledge and an assured confidence of what? And the writers of the Catechism said that it is a certain knowledge and an assured confidence of all things promised in the gospel. And all of those things that are promised in the gospel are nicely summarized for us in the Apostles' Creed. And then the Heidelberg Catechism, therefore, goes through the Apostles' Creed, article by article, in order to explain in a very succinct way what is the object of our faith. And now we come to the conclusion of that in Lord's Day 22 with these last 2 articles of the Apostles' Creed. We looked this morning at just the first question and answer of Lord's Day 22 having to do with the resurrection of the body. We're going to look at this question and answer in light of John chapter 11 and the history of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Now, every truth that we find in Lord's Day 22 concerning the resurrection is not found necessarily in John chapter 11, nor are we going to look at everything that's in John chapter 11 in this history. There are all sorts of glorious truths that are set forth in this history of Jesus and Lazarus. But nevertheless, by using this history as our guide as we consider the resurrection, the Lord willing, will have opened up to our eyes of faith this morning the wonder of the resurrection and the power of Jesus Christ and the love of God in Jesus Christ for His people. And ultimately, all of this for the glory of God in Christ. The resurrection of Lazarus, we use that as our theme this morning from John 11. We notice in the first place this morning the power of death. In the second place, we see the power of Jesus. And then last, let's see the power of faith. The resurrection of Lazarus, the power of death, the power of Jesus, and the power of faith. Focus of the sermon this morning must be on Jesus. There's always a temptation when you look at something like the resurrection to only focus on us. Obviously, we're going to talk about us as believers. We have to do that. This is one of the glorious blessings of salvation that we receive from God in Jesus Christ. But we can't make the mistake this morning of only focusing on us and what the resurrection means for us. Focus of the sermon this morning needs to be on Christ. That's the focus of John chapter 11. Yes, it's all about Lazarus and his death and his resurrection. But in the end, it's all about Christ. In that focal point in the chapter, I am the resurrection and the life. And then the end, which is the climax, Jesus' word, Lazarus, come forth. And that's the focus of Lord's Day 22 as well, on the work of Jesus Christ in the resurrection. In order to understand the power of Jesus Christ, and that's going to be the emphasis this morning, based on what we have in the answer to question 57, that we shall be raised by the power of Christ. In order to understand that power of Jesus Christ in the resurrection, we need to understand first the power of death. When you understand the power of death, then you see the wonder of the power of Jesus Christ. Beloved, death is powerful. We all know that to be true. But I say it again, death is powerful, and death is powerful for several reasons. Death is powerful because everything that we are going through in this life is leading towards death. And the fact of the matter is that there is absolutely nothing that can stop it. We all need to face that reality this morning. It's a fact, an indisputable fact. Unless Jesus returns, every single one of us sitting here this morning, myself included, is going to die. And that should all cause us to pause and reflect on our relationship to God and our relationship to Jesus Christ. It's an indisputable fact. We don't think about it enough. But every single one of us is going to die. You may not feel like it this morning. You may not think it's right there, but you are going to die. And there's nothing that is going to stop that. I say again, that should cause us to pause and reflect on where we are at in our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, where we are at in living a holy and sanctified life, where we are at in putting our faith and trust completely in Him. We're going to die and nothing is going to stop it. And all of the sicknesses and all of the diseases that take place in our lives all remind us of that fact. Yes, there is a certain amount of medicine and technology out there and an ability to put those things at bay somewhat. But every time we are sick and every time we see someone that is sick and every time we care for someone that is sick, all that does is remind us of the fact that we are on a path, a journey to death. The body is not getting stronger, healthier as time gets on in the big picture of things. The body is breaking down. And all of those sicknesses remind us of that fact. And then if your body is not necessarily ravaged by disease or sickness, you'll get to a certain point in your life, simply that of old age, and on account of that, you will die. May not be necessarily a specific illness or sickness, but simply the body is done and death is imminent. I vividly experienced that this past February when my grandma Decker died. Probably most of you have experienced that. Death by means of old age. I went to visit my grandma hours before she died. And I saw someone actively dying. I could see it. You could sense it. You could feel it. Everything in that room tasted of death. And there wasn't one person in all of the world, and there wasn't one thing in all of the world that could have been done to stop that. Think about that. There was nothing that could stop that process of death taking place. And there was no one in all of the world that could have been present in that room that would have said, this is what we need to do, and this is what I can do in order to stop what is going to take place. She was dying. And very soon after that, she died. Power of death is seen in the fact that no one can stop it. Power of death is seen in the fact also that it's final and it's irreversible. And by the way, that sickness and the power of death is seen in John chapter 11. It's the very first thing that we learn of in John chapter 11. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Lazarus was sick. We don't know the nature of that sickness. We don't need to know the nature of that sickness. But because he was sick, everyone that was around him knew what the inevitable end was, namely death. That's why they called for Jesus. They wanted Jesus to come because they knew he's going to die. The power of death, as I said a moment ago, is also seen from the fact that it's final. And it's irreversible. Once someone dies, on this side of the return of Jesus Christ, they're not coming back. When you go to the graveyard and you take that body that's in the casket and you put it into the grave, he or she, your loved one, is never going to come back here on this earth. And it's in part that is the reason for that pit in your stomach, that sinking feeling when you walk away from the graveside and when you wake up a few days later and you think about the death of your loved one, part of that sinking feeling is due to that fact. It's final. It's irreversible. Loved one is gone. They understood that in John chapter 11. Mary and Martha understood that. Both Mary and Martha, when they were with Jesus, when he finally did come to Bethany, said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, our brother Lazarus would not have died. And that implies this very point that I'm making right now. They knew that if he could have been here before Lazarus died, there was potential for him to remain living, that there would still be life for Lazarus. But now that they got to that point that Lazarus had died, it's too late. Jesus, if you would have been here, we wouldn't have been where we are now, because now that Jesus or Lazarus is dead, it's irreversible and he's not going to come back to life. Death is final. It's powerful in that way. And that, by the way, exalts the absolute folly of man to think that someday they will be able to reverse the effects of death. That's a very real thing. There's a whole field out there in the medical world called cryonics, I believe is how you say it. And it's this whole idea of freezing the body, or freezing even just the brain, they think, in order that they might have the hope that in the years to come, when the technology advances, that they will be able to resuscitate that frozen body and that frozen brain and bring it back to life. It's a whole field out in the medical world. It was made somewhat popular by a famous American baseball player who decided to do that when he died, and it was in the news for quite a while in response to that, but it's very real. Man in the world today believes that someday they will be able to reverse the effects of death. And so we can't let that body decay in the ground. We need to keep it, preserve it, freeze it, so that someday it can be resuscitated. That is the height of the folly of man, to think that man can ever have power over death. Death is powerful because it cannot be stopped and because it is final. And ultimately, beloved, death is powerful because those things are true on account of the judgment of God upon sin. That's the reason there is death here. And that is the reason there is power in death. Because God said in Genesis chapter 2, "In the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die." And God is a God of His Word. And when they did eat, they died. And therefore, because Adam represented all man, all men, we read in Romans 5, verse 12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Beloved, the reason that Lazarus was sick and dying and did die, and the reason that men today are breaking down and dying, and the reason that you will die is because of sin. Because God said, "This is my judgment upon sin, death." That's the power of death. And that power of death, beloved, leads us to see the power of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, as we know, is the one who has the answer to death and conquers death. But in order to really understand the power that Jesus Christ has over death, we need to understand that Jesus has that power because He has conquered what stands behind death, which is what we just talked about, sin. The reason that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, as He says in John 11, is not first and foremost because He is the Son of God and therefore God Himself. And that is the fact that stands behind Him being the one who has power over death. It's not that. Partly it is that, but that's not the complete story. It's not simply because He is God. The reason that this one, Jesus Christ, has the power over death and is the resurrection and the life is because He answered what stands behind the reason for death, sin. And that is the only reason Jesus and Him alone has conquered death, because He has conquered sin. Jesus Christ went to that cross. He paid for that sin on that cross of His people. He did that in such a way that all of that sin was washed away, so that He had power over everything that stands behind death. And therefore He arose from the grave and He has life. And it all comes to expression in that phrase that He said to Mary and Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the essence of life. In me is life, as the one who has gone to the cross. And therefore I am the resurrection as well." And so Jesus displays in John chapter 11 the power that He has over death. And when we read in John chapter 11 of the power that Christ has over death and what He did to Lazarus, what we are reading is a foreshadowing of what Jesus Christ will do for you and for me when He returns again. We have a small picture of that in what He did for Lazarus when He walked the face of this earth. Lazarus was in the grave for 4 days. Jesus was very purposeful in what He did in coming to Bethany when He did. He did not come immediately. He did not come immediately when He was still alive, and He, even after Lazarus died, waited a little bit so that when He was in the grave, He was there for 4 days. And part of the reason for that is to show the absolute power that Jesus has over death. Because when He told them, roll away the stone, they said to Him, Jesus, He's been in there for 4 days, His body stinketh. When they looked into that grave and saw Lazarus, the words that came to mind were stinking, decaying, decomposing, nasty. All of those things that are surrounding the reality of death. But when Jesus looked at Lazarus, and this is amazing, when Jesus looked at Lazarus, He saw the exact same thing that you see as parents when you go into the bedroom of your children and see your child sleeping. That's what Jesus saw. He saw one of His children sleeping. We read that in verses 11 through 14 of the passage. These things said He, and after that He saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said His disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that He had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. That's a powerful figure to explain the power that Jesus has over death. With the same ease that you can go into the bedroom of your child and say, my son, my daughter, wake up, come forth. With the same ease that you do that, can Jesus go into the grave of one of His children, look at that decomposing, decaying, stinking body, and do as He does in this passage, powerfully, efficaciously, with a life-giving voice, say, Lazarus, come forth. And immediately, by the powerful, life-giving call of Jesus Christ, Lazarus came forth. It's the same powerful call that brought all of the things that we see around us into existence at the very beginning. Let there be life. And life came forth. Really, it's not the same. Because at the beginning, when the second person of the Trinity, the Word of God, brought all things into existence, He brought all of that life into existence out of nothing. But here, what Jesus did was bring life, not out of nothing, but out of death. Out of death, He called forth life. And beloved, that's what He'll do for you. And that's what He will do for me when He returns. All of the graves of all of the world, and particularly now we're talking about His people, He will go to those graves and He will say the name of each one of His people, and He will say those same words, come forth. And that powerful, efficacious, life-giving call of Jesus Christ will raise those bodies from the grave. The difference, of course, is that here Lazarus was raised back to his original body, the body like you have and like I have. But when Jesus Christ at the end does what we read of in Lord's Day 22, it will be with a glorified body, a body that is fit to live with Christ into all eternity. It was a power of Jesus Christ that was grounded in a love of Jesus Christ. And we see that in John chapter 11. Everything Jesus did that we have recorded for us in John chapter 11 is grounded in the love that He has for His people. We see that right at the very beginning. Therefore, His sisters sent unto Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick. And then we read in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved His people. And everything He did here was motivated by His love for them. Even what He did with Mary and Martha and the disciples and the Jews was motivated by His love for them. But especially what he did for Lazarus was motivated by love. He loved Lazarus. He knew Lazarus by name. And that's the significance of him saying his name first, Lazarus, come forth. He knew him. And that's just not the same way that I know your name and you know my name and you may know the name of someone else in the world. This was the love of Jesus for that he knows the names of each one of his sheep. And he says their name when he calls them forth out of the grave. The resurrection, beloved, highlights the love of Jesus Christ. It's true that at the very end, Jesus will raise all men, unbelievers and believers. But the difference is found right here. With respect to the unbelievers, he doesn't call them forth by their name in love for them. The resurrection for them is a resurrection motivated by his wrath and his hatred in order to lead them to a greater condemnation. But for us, it's all about his love for his people. And that's what we need to think about when we lay our loved ones into the grave and when we think about our own death and our own body in the grave. We need to think about the love of Jesus Christ. A love for us on the cross, certainly. But a love for us in the resurrection as well. And just as he knows the name of each one of his people, he knows your name. And will say your name and call you forth from the grave. It's a power of Jesus Christ that is grounded in the love of Jesus Christ, all of which is for the glory of God. And we see that in this passage as well. Everything Jesus did here not only was out of love for his people, but it was for the glory of God. We read that in the beginning of the passage in verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." The resurrection is not about you. It's not about me. It's not about those who are raised. The resurrection is all about God and bringing glory to God. The resurrection glorifies God. Consider the fact that this is the culmination of all of the work of God for His people. And that's the emphasis, the work of God for His people. The resurrection stands at the pinnacle of it all when Jesus Christ returns to bring us into the new heaven and new earth. That glorifies God. Consider the fact that when Jesus comes, He knows your name. And the reason He knows your name is that in eternity, God said, "I set my love upon my people, the elect, and I write their names in the book of life, and I give that book to Jesus, who read that book and knows the names of his people." All of that glorifies God. Consider the fact that the only reason Jesus Christ could raise us from the dead when he returns is because he went to the cross and paid for those sins. That's what gives him the right, when he looks at your body, to raise it from the dead, because all of the sins committed in that body have been paid for on the cross. That glorifies God. Consider the fact that He raises you at the end so that in this body we can live with Him. Live with Him forever. To do what? Praise Him. Worship Him. That, beloved, glorifies God. All of it serves the purpose of glorifying God. And we have a glimpse of that in John chapter 11. He wanted Lazarus to die so that through what he did, Jesus and God through him would be glorified. Beloved, believest thou this? That's the question. That's the question that was posed to Mary by Jesus. Believest thou this? The word of the gospel this morning by the Spirit is to work faith and to strengthen the faith that God has given us in the resurrection. When you read chapter 11 of John, you see that Jesus had in mind the faith of His people when He raised Lazarus from the dead. All throughout this passage, we read that. Verse 15, "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe." That's faith. "Nevertheless, let us go unto Him." John 11, verses 25 through 27, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." John 11, verse 42, "And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." Then in verse 45, and this was the response, the fruit of what Jesus did in this chapter, "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on Him." I say again, beloved, believest thou this? When you really think about it, this is the epitome of faith. Think about what we're talking about this morning and what we're taught in Lord's Day 22. What we're saying is that one day, a glorified Christ will come to this earth. And what He will do when He comes to this earth is raise every body that has been laid to the grave, every body that has been burned at the stake, every body that is really no longer even a body if you were to dig up that grave because it has decayed and decomposed. Every body that's in the bottom of the sea, every body that has been killed in whatever way you can think of. What we're saying is that there's going to be a Christ who's going to come down and simply by the power of His Word cause the bodies of His people to be raised to a glorified body. Beloved, it is, according to natural man, unbelievable. And that is why it is only by the power of faith that we believe this. We read it in God's Word. We are not able to see Jesus raise Lazarus so that we can see that and say, "I saw it with my own eyes, and therefore I can know that when He comes again, He is able to do it." We read it in His Word. And faith is taking God for His Word. And the Word of the Gospel to us this morning is Jesus Christ will return. And He will raise you from the grave. Believest thou this? By the power of the Spirit in us, we believe. And we need to be reminded of that this morning. We're ending the Apostles' Creed in Lord's Day 22, and the Apostles' Creed is all about the object of our faith. This wasn't a lecture on facts of the resurrection this morning. This was the gospel truth of the resurrection that by faith we cling to. That by faith we can say this morning, by the power of the Spirit worked in us, I am of a certain knowledge that there is going to be a resurrection from the grave. And I have an assured confidence that that resurrection is for me. And that one day, Jesus will come and say, "My name," followed by those words, "Come forth." And that I will now have a glorified body with which to praise my Lord and my Savior into all eternity. Believe the gospel this morning, and may God so work strong faith in our hearts so that we read John chapter 11 and so that we say every single Sunday evening, not simply because we say it, but because we believe it, "I believe in the resurrection of the body." Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, pray that Thou wilt work through this word that was preached this morning, faith, powerful faith in the resurrection, a hope-giving faith, so that we do not fear death nor fear the grave, but have the hope that Jesus will raise us from the dead. Work that in us powerfully, and may we go forth with that hope in our hearts. For Jesus' sake do we pray. Amen.